Blog Talk Radio.
This morning I would like to use as a subject from which to preach the drum major instinct. The drum major instinct. And our text for the morning is taken from a very familiar passage in the 10th chapter as recorded by St. Mark, beginning with the 35th verse of that chapter, we read these words, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." And then Jesus goes on toward the end of that passage to say, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." The setting is clear. James and John are making a specific request of the Master. They had dreamed, as most of the Hebrews dreamed, of a coming king of Israel who would set Jerusalem free and establish his kingdom on Mount Zion and in righteousness rule the world. And they thought of Jesus as this kind of king, and they were thinking of that day when Jesus would reign supreme as this new king of Israel. And they were saying, now, when you establish a kingdom, let one of us sit on the right hand and the other on the left hand of your throne. Now, very quickly, we would automatically condemn James and John, and we would say they were selfish. Why would they make such a selfish request? But before we condemn them too quickly, let us look calmly and honestly at ourselves, and we will discover that we too have those same basic desires for recognition, for importance, that same desire for attention, that same desire to be first. Of course, the other disciples got mad with James and John, and you can understand why, but we must understand that we have some of the same James and John qualities. And that is deep down within all of us, an instinct It's a kind of drum major instinct, a desire to be out front, a desire to lead the parade, a desire to be first. And it is something that runs the whole gamut of life. And so before we condemn them, let us see that we all have the drum major instinct. We all want to be important, to surpass others, to achieve distinction, to lead the parade. Alfred Adler, the great psychoanalyst, contends that this is the dominant impulse. Sigmund Freud used to contend that sex was the dominant impulse, and Adler came with a new argument saying that this quest for recognition, this desire for attention, this desire for distinction is the basic impulse, the basic drive of human life, this drum major instinct. And you know, we begin early to ask life to put us first. Our first cry as a baby was a bid for attention. And all through childhood, the drum major impulse or instinct is a major obsession. Children ask life to grant them first place. They are a little bundle of ego. They have innately the drum major impulse or the drum major instinct. Now, in adult life, we still have it, and we really never get by it. We like to do something good, and you know, we like to be praised for it. Now, if you don't believe that, you just go on living life and you will discover very soon that you like to be praised. Everybody likes it, as a matter of fact. And somehow this warm glow we feel when we are praised or when our name is in print is something of the vitamin A to our ego. Nobody is unhappy when they are praised, even if they know they don't deserve it, and even if they don't believe it. The only unhappy people about praise is when that praise is going too much towards somebody else. But everybody likes to be praised because of this real drum major instinct. Now, the presence of the drum major instinct is why so many people are joiners. You know, there are some people who just join everything. And it's really a quest for attention and recognition and importance. And they get names that give them that impression. So you get your groups, and they become the grand patron. And the little fella who is henpecked at home needs a chance to be the most worthy of the most worthy of something. It is the drum major impulse and longing that runs the gamut of human life. And so we see it everywhere, this quest for recognition. And we join things, overjoin really, that we think that we will find that recognition in. The presence of this instinct explains why we are so often taken by advertisers. You know, those gentlemen of massive verbal persuasion. And they have a way of saying things to you that kind of gets you in the bind. In order to be a man of distinction, you must drink this whiskey. In order to make your neighbors envious, you must drive this type of car. In order to be lovely to love, you must wear this kind of lipstick or this kind of perfume. And you know, before you know it, you're just buying that stuff. That's the way the advertisers do it. I got a letter the other day, and it was a magazine coming out, and opened up Dear Dr. King, as you know, you are on many mailing lists, and you are categorized as highly intelligent, progressive, a lover of the arts and the sciences, and I know you will want to read what I have to say. Of course I did. After you said all of that and explained me so exactly, of course I wanted to read it. But very seriously, it goes through life. The drum major instinct is real. And you know what else it happens or causes happen to happen? It often causes us to live above our means.
Make it plain. Make it plain.
It's nothing but the drum major instinct. You ever see people buy cars that they can't even begin to buy in terms of their income? You've seen people riding around in Cadillacs and Chrysler who don't earn enough to have a good T Model Ford. But it feeds a repressed ego. You know, economists tell us that your automobile should not cost more than half of your annual income. So if you make an income of $5,000, your car shouldn't cost more than about $2,500. That's just good economics. And if it's a family of two and both members of the family make $10,000, they would have to make out with one car. That would be good economics, although it's often inconvenient. But so often, haven't you seen people making $5,000 a year and driving a car that costs $6,000, and they wonder why their ends never meet? That's a fact. Now, the economists also say that your house shouldn't cost, if you're buying a house, it shouldn't cost more than twice your income. That's based on the economy and how you would make ends meet. So if you have an income of $5,000, it's kind of difficult in this society, but say it's a family with an income of $10,000, the house shouldn't cost much more than $20,000. Well, I've seen folk making $10,000 living in $40,000 and $50,000 houses. And you know they just barely make it. They get a check every month somewhere, and they owe all of that out before it comes in. Never have anything to put away for rainy days. But now the problem is it is the drum major instinct. And you know you see people over and over again with the drum major instinct taking them over, and they just live their lives trying to outdo the Jones. They got to get this coat, because this particular coat is a little better and a little better looking than Mary's coat. And I've got to drive this car because it's something about this car that makes my car a little better than my neighbor's car. I know a man who used to live in a $35,000 house, and other people started building $35,000 houses. So he built a $75,000 house, and then somebody else built a $75,000 house, and he built a $100,000 house, and I don't know where he's going to end up if he's going to live his life trying to keep up with the Joneses. There comes a time that the drum major instinct can become destructive. And that's where I want to move now. I want to move to the point of saying that if this instinct is not harnessed, it becomes a very dangerous, pernicious instinct. For instance, if it isn't harnessed, it causes one's personality to become distorted. I guess that's the most damaging aspect of it, what it does to the personality. If it isn't harnessed, you will end up day in and day out trying to deal with your ego problem by boasting. Have you ever heard people that, you know, and I'm sure you've met them, that really become sickening because they just sit up all the time talking about themselves. And they just boast and boast and boast. And that's a person who has not harnessed the drum major instinct. And then it does other things to the personality. It causes you to lie about who you know sometimes. There are some people who are influence peddlers. And in that attempt to deal with the drum major instinct, they have to try to identify with the so-called big name people. And if you're not careful, they will make you think they know somebody that they don't really know. They know them well. They sip tea with them, and they this and that. That happens to people. And the other thing is that it causes one to engage ultimately in activities that are merely used to get attention. Criminologists tell us that some people are driven to crime because of this drum major instinct. They don't feel that they're getting enough attention through the normal channels of social behavior. And so they turn to antisocial behavior in order to get attention, in order to feel important. And so they get that gun, and before they know it, they rob the bank in a quest for recognition, in a quest for importance. And then the final great tragedy of the distorted personality is the fact that when one fails to harness this instinct, he ends up trying to push others down in order to push himself up. And whenever you do that, you engage in some of the most vicious activities. You will spread evil, vicious, lying gossip on people because you are trying to pull them down in order to push yourself up. The great issue of life is to harness the drum major instinct. Now, the other problem is, when you don't harness the drum major instinct, this uncontrolled aspect of it is that it leads to snobbish exclusivism. It leads to snobbish exclusivism. Now, you know, this is the danger of social clubs and fraternities. I'm in a fraternity. I'm in two or three. For sororities and all of these, I'm not talking against them. I'm saying it's the danger. The danger is that they can become forces of classism and exclusivism, where somehow you get a degree of satisfaction because you are in something exclusive. And that's fulfilling something, you know. That I'm in this fraternity, and it's the best fraternity in the world, and everybody can't get in this fraternity. So it ends up, you know, a very exclusive kind of thing. And you know, that can happen with the church. I know churches get in that bind sometimes.
Make it plain.
I've been to churches, you know, and they say, we have so many doctors and so many school teachers and so many lawyers and so many businessmen in our church. And that's fine, because doctors need to go to church, and lawyers and businessmen, teachers, they ought to be in church. But they say that, even the preacher sometimes will go all through that. They say that as if the other people don't count. The church is the one place where the doctor ought to forget that he's a doctor. The church is the one place where the PhD ought to forget that he's a PhD. The church is the one place that the school teacher ought to forget the degree she has behind her name. The church is the one place where the lawyer ought to forget that he's a lawyer. And any church that violates the whosoever will let him come doctrine is a dead church. And nothing but a little culture with a tinsel of religiosity. The church is true to its job. So it will let him come. Whosoever will let him come. And it does not suppose to satisfy the perverted uses of the drum major instinct. It's the one place where everybody should be the same, standing before a common master and savior.
Yes.
And a recognition grows out of this that all men are brothers because they are children.
Yes.
of a common father. Some may instinct lead to exclusivist wanting. Some instinct lead one to feel, and can lead one to feel that because he has some training, he's a little better than that person who doesn't have it. Or because he has some economic security, that he's a little better than that person who doesn't have it. And that's the uncontrolled, perverted use of the drum major instinct. Now, the other thing is that it leads to tragic, and we've seen it happen so often, tragic race prejudice.
This recording is briefly interrupted at this point.
We see with our own eyes. In fact, not too long ago, a man down in Mississippi said that God was a charter member of the White Citizens Council. And so, God being the charter member means that everybody who's in that has a kind of divinity, a kind of superiority. And think of what has happened in history as a result of this perverted use of the drum major instinct. It led to the most tragic prejudice, the most tragic expressions of man's inhumanity to man. The other day I was saying, I always try to do a little converting when I'm in jail. And when we were in jail in Birmingham the other day, the white wardens and all enjoyed coming around the cell to talk about the race problem. And they were showing us where we were so wrong demonstrating. And they were showing us where segregation was so right. And they were showing us where intermarriage was so wrong. So I would get to preaching, and we would get to talking calmly because they wanted to talk about it. And then we got down one day to the point, that was the second or third day, to talk about where they lived and how much they were earning. And when those brothers told me what they were earning, I said, now, you know what? You ought to be marching with us. You just as poor as Negro. And I said, you are put in the position of supporting your oppressor. Because through prejudice and blindness, you fail to see that the same forces that oppress Negroes in American society oppress poor white people. And all you are living on is the satisfaction of your skin being white and the drum major instinct of thinking that you are somebody big because you're white and you're so poor you can't send your children to school. You ought to be out here marching with every one of us every time we have a march. Now that's the fact that the poor white has been put into this position where through blindness and prejudice he is forced to support his oppressors. And the only thing he has going for him is the false feeling that he's superior because his skin is white and can hardly eat and make his ends meet week in and week out. Now, not only does it stop, I mean, not only does this thing go into the racial struggle, it goes into the struggle between nations. And I would submit to you this morning that what is wrong in the world today is that the nations of the world are engaged in a bitter, colossal contest for supremacy. And if something doesn't happen to stop this trend, I'm sorely afraid that we won't be here to talk about Jesus Christ and about God and about brotherhood too many more years. If somebody doesn't bring an end to this suicidal thrust that we see in the world today, none of us are going to be around because somebody's going to make the mistake through our senseless blundering of dropping a nuclear bomb somewhere and then another one is going to drop. And don't let anybody fool you. This can happen within a matter of seconds. They have 20 megaton bombs in Russia right now that can destroy a city as big as New York in 3 seconds with everybody wiped away and every building. And we can do the same thing to Russia and China. But this is where we are drifting, and we are drifting there. Because nations are caught up with the drum major instinct. I must be first. I must be supreme. Our nation must rule the world. And I am sad to say that the nation in which we live is the supreme culprit. And I'm going to continue to say it to America. Because I love this country too much to see the drift that it has taken. God didn't call America to do what she's doing in the world now. God didn't call America to engage in a senseless, unjust war as the war in Vietnam. And we are criminals in that war. We've committed more war crimes almost than any nation in the world. And I'm going to continue to say it. And we won't stop it because of our pride and our arrogance as a nation. But God has a way of even putting nations in their place. The God that I worship has a way of saying, don't play with me. He has a way of saying, as the God of the Old Testament used to say, the Hebrews, don't play with me, Israel. Don't play with me, Babylon. Be still and know that I'm God. And if you don't stop your reckless course, I'll rise up and break the backbone of your power. That can happen to America.
Yes.
Every now and then I go back and read Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And when I come and look at America, I say to myself, the parallels are frightening. We have perverted the drum major instinct. But let me rush on to my conclusion because I want you to see what Jesus was really saying. What was the answer that Jesus gave these men? It's very interesting. One would have thought that Jesus would have condemned them. One would have thought that Jesus would have said, you are out of your place. You are selfish. Why would you raise such a question? That isn't what Jesus did. He did something altogether different. He said in substance, oh, I see. You want to be first? You want to be great? You want to be important? You want to be significant? Well, you ought to be. If you're going to be my disciple, you must be. He reordered priorities. And he said, yes, don't give up this instinct. It's a good instinct if you use it right.
Yes.
It's a good instinct if you don't distort it and pervert it. Don't give it up. Keep feeling the need for being important. Keep feeling the need for being first. But I want you to be first in love. I want you to be first in moral excellence. I want you to be first in generosity. That is what I want you to do. And he transformed the situation by giving a new definition of greatness. And you know how he said it? He said, now, brethren, I can't give you greatness. And really, I can't make you first. This is what Jesus said to James and John. You must earn it. True greatness comes not by favoritism, but by fitness. And the right hand and the left are not mine to give. They belong to those who are prepared. And so Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, the thing that I like about it, By giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace. Soul generated by love. You can be that servant. I know a man, and I just want to talk about him a minute, and maybe you will discover who I'm talking about as I go down the way. Because he was a great one. He just went about serving. He was born in an obscure village. The child of a poor peasant woman. And then he grew up in still another obscure village where he worked as a carpenter until he was 30 years old. Then for 3 years, he just got on his feet and he was an itinerant preacher. And he went about doing some things. He didn't have much. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never owned a house. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never went 200 miles from where he was born. He did none of the usual things that the world would associate with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 32 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. They called a rabble that turned against him. They called him a rabble rouser. They called him a troublemaker. They said he was an agitator. He practiced civil disobedience. He broke injunctions. And so he was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. And the irony of it all is that his friends turned him over to them. One of his closest friends denied him. Another of his friends turned him over to his enemies. And while he was dying, the people who killed him gambled for his clothing, the only possession that he had in the world. When he was dead, he was buried in a borrowed tomb through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone. Today, he stands as the most influential figure that ever entered human history. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all parts that ever stood, all kings that ran together, not sent the love of men put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. His name may be a familiar one, but today I can hear him talking about him. Every now and then somebody says he's King of Kings. And again I can hear somebody saying he's Lord of Lords. Somewhere else I can hear somebody saying, in Christ there is no east nor west. And then they go on and talk about in him there's no north and south, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide world. He didn't have anything. He just went around serving and doing good. This morning, you can be on his right hand and his left hand if you serve. It's the only way in. Every now and then, I guess all think rich about they. About that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something that we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense. Every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major. Say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian, or if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your right or your left side. Not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side. Not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition. But I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth. And in commitment to others so that we can make of this old world a new world.
My. Beautiful. 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 You know, if the world ain't dead, you know, if the world ain't stopped moving, if we know we, as America, as we said, United States, right, celebrate this day, you know, never know this one, the day he was birthed on, but we celebrate, and you might, if you just listen to some of the things going across some of the media, they're going to honor this man of God who really was a preacher first. You hear that, what he was doing? As he conveyed God. And he conveyed that, you know. Man, and it's so reverent today that we look at the time when he brought that message, you know, that he said that there's a lot of people want to be on the front. There's a lot of people want to be in the lime stream, as you want to say. There's a lot of in the mainstream. The people want to be lifted up. You know, there's a lot of people, you'd be surprised, want to be lifted up, want to be the one that's your name called, and want to be the one that's to be in the front line, say, I did it, you know. Boy, I'm telling you one thing about this life. I love how Jesus illustrated just then through that fine speaker just then, Martin Luther King. And we often say happy birthday, we don't, and this is me now, you don't have to be nobody, we don't teach hatred, you know, we don't teach that you love and hate people. We just teach only one way, that we love people. Like he was saying, you know, he dealing with the people in jail and they asked a question, and he asked them a question, what were their income? And he was telling them, well, you need to be marching with us too. You know, sometimes you be so blind in hatred, and hatred have you so much that you think you're right and you're really wrong. I just thank God for the man. I thank God for the honor of what he did lay down his life. And he laid it down for you and I. Some people probably can say, I walk with him, I talk with him, you know, but are you still doing it? You know, one person I noticed, he's one of the persons would never go unsung. You know, that means they're going to never forget him. You're going to always, somebody's going to bring him up. It might not be on his birthday. Somebody's going to bring up something about Martin Luther King, you know, what he had established and what he said in order. So I want to thank God for what he done. I want to thank God for he did lay down his life. He did get killed. And I know one thing about it. You know what I'm talking about? If you're a called preacher, you sure enough supposed to get behind him. You know what I'm talking about? We don't have to worry about this injustice as much as he did just then. You know what I'm talking about? We don't worry about it still has its, if you're in the workforce, it still has its way. If you in life, you go somewhere, you know, they did little studies on someone going buying a house, you know, somebody going buying a house and buying a house. You sent two different people there, two different status of people there, got the same credit line and everything, and walked in there. And the only difference was it was their skin color. Only difference was because their skin color and how they approached them and how they approached the other one, you know. I remember one day I went to go buy a car one day, right? Car, you know, a car. So, you know, I didn't dress too preachy that day, Reverend Henry. I was when I went in there, you know, I look like old Joe Blow, you know. I look like old Joe Blow, and if you can hear me. When I went in there, me and my wife went in there. You know, she had just got off work. And we were shopping, looking for old truck. And then looking in there, and the man come to me, put me to the side. You know we can take cash money. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I looked at this brother of mine, and I told him, man, you serious, man? I said, are you truly serious, man? See, they'll judge the book of his cover. You know what I'm talking about? One way, he said, you in this place and you know what these things cost, and you ain't even asked for what it costs, you know. And you just said you want that one. And he said, I guess he looked at it and said, this brother must be one of the boys, you know what I'm talking about. And I wanted to let him know he had me totally messed up. See, life is still bad, man. There's a lot of wrong out there. There's a lot of people, what we call perception, perceiving what they think they see. You know what I'm talking about? And it's not, man. But what he did for us, allowed me to even go in there, get a decent job, can do what I want to do. You know what I'm talking about? And I thank God for that, you know, because of, he laid his life down, him and others, you know, sacrificed their life for you and I. You know, sometimes I hate to vote. I ain't going to lie. I hate to vote. You know, but every time I think about who did it, the trailblazers, I hope y'all hear me because I don't be doing all this. Ain't nobody hearing me. But I want to say this with love, and you can hear me from the bottom of my heart, that God is still in control. I love how he does it. He did it so well and spoke it so eloquent. You know, talking about, that's what I love about the preach words. You know, talking about, it just don't need nothing to come behind it. You know what I'm talking about? The preach word, when it's been taught, where I come from, that once it's been taught like that, you don't want to influx too much behind it because you want the people to remember what the text was and how he delivered the text and how the text affect that person. But we in society now, we come up, we do different things now. But I'm gonna tell you something. That's when you hear the one up on you, and I did it this way, I said it this way. Man, when it get downtown to it, it's about salvation. That's how he ended it. Salvation. He talked about Jesus. He talked about Jesus Christ. This is what it's about. The church, the doors is open because of salvation. It's not open for you to making the life like on this side. It's making it for the life after that you've been living on this earth. It's for you and I that when we see it, we can see it a little different now. It's for you and I that when we see it, how we can see right today that you and I can ask God. You know, when I say this, and I love this, I see something. I feel a spirit, Brother D. You know what I'm talking about? You know, Brother D, I'm going to go off the whole different side. You know, I know you ain't no Martin Luther King, but you'll give a speech like one. But watch this, Brother D. So, Brother D, you know, it's sometimes church folks, man. Man, church folks, God, they so touchy, man. You know what I'm talking about? Church folk can be so touchy, man. I mean, you know, if you don't say this, or if you don't prop me, you don't do this, you know, it gets in their feelings so much, man. You know, church folk now. I'm just talking about church folk, because that's who he was talking to, and talking about the ones on our side. So he was strengthening them so they could go through this journey. You know what I'm talking about? Don't worry about what side you're going to sit on. Don't worry about that. You know what I'm talking about? Because Jesus told them.
It's for
a prepared person. If you prepare to take this up, this cross, if you prepare for it, come on with it. You know, but I wanted to say this and elaborate this. Yeah, help me with it, Brother D. You know, I know this is the day everybody sits aside and give honor to Dr. Martin Luther King. He was a preacher. That's why I want to bring that sermon in there, because I wanted to bring it in there because he was a preacher first. don't forget that.
That's right.
He was
that's
a
right.
preacher first.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm talking about? And most of it because he's a good speaker. You know what I'm talking about? And you know, remind me of Luke, you know, Brother D. Remind me of Luke. Luke was a good writer, you know what I'm talking about? Very good writer, you know, a physician.
Right,
you know
right.
And he tended, you know what I'm talking about? He wasn't one of the disciples, you know what I'm talking about? But what he did, he takes the information that he got for others, you know what I'm talking about, and put it in a writing form that you and I could teach from, and we can get in the preach from the word, you know what I'm talking about? So it'd be so much in layman is the day we can explain it, because he said it's a witness here, you know? And I wanted to say this here. When you... I've learned something, man. As I'm getting closer to the Lord, the spirit is moving so strong, right? Man, you'd be surprised how people's minds switch because they're not listed. You'd be surprised how people's mind move because their name ain't been brought up. You'd be surprised at why you ain't mention my name. You know why you ain't say me? Why you ain't do me? You'd be in church, man. And the real deal, if I'm wrong with it, tell me, Brother D, the only one should be lifted is the Father. Oh, hear me, Holy Spirit. He said, I'm
it's
a
the
jealous
Father.
God.
It's the Father.
He said, I'm a jealous
Father.
God. That's what he said. He said, I am a jealous
yeah,
God.
Jealous God.
He taught us a lesson on the day. It's just the other day. He said, I brought you out of Egypt, I brought you through the water, and you have an absent night. You know what that means, Brother D? You have a stubborn doing wrong. He said, I brought you out there, so I don't want you to worship no image. That's what he told us, Brother D. He said, I don't want you worship no idol God. I don't want you to give him the credit. I'm the one brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one brought you through the water. So many times Isaiah was saying that, it stayed with me, man. Every time I know I read it seven times, Brother D, over that 48. I read it seven times, but sometimes when I go and study again and get up and study with Brother D, I'm telling you, man, we are sometimes stubborn like that. You know what I'm talking about? We're so stubborn in our ways
sometimes.
Trying to loosen that up. He told us we have to loose that right there. He said, why you go well here, Martin Luther King? Because if I know he was still here today, he didn't want us to lift up God. He would want us to lift up the, see, we're not there where he was at that hour. You know, talking about somebody making 5,000 a year, 10,000 a year, buying a house and don't have a 2,000. You know, we ain't there yet. But he right on it. The Joneses is still here. Yes, sir. There's still people trying to outdo each other. They still here. You know what I'm talking about? But what I want
every
to
day,
bring out is just how church folks can be. Man, how we can sit down on God because we got little feelings, man. This thing is bigger than us. It's bigger than us. You know what I'm talking about? I'm on right now, right? And I'm just saying this. Like I'm on right now. I don't know anybody heard that free report. You know what I'm talking about? Hey man, you could be in church, right? It could be so quiet in church, like a. I know people say they thinking and they listen to the word of God. You know, man, we are like we in a classroom set. You know, but what God is moving in you, I guess when you get closer to Him, Brother D, that's why you can't. I don't care how you feel sometimes. You still hit the what button. You know what I'm talking about? You got a little noise. You still gonna hit that what button. You know what I'm talking about? Because that's. You're going to be surprised, brother. That's right there what you're doing there, encouraging people.
Amen.
What you're doing right there can help you along the way in this day. You know what I'm talking about? Because we need to be encouraged. And when you're doing this Christian, especially 5 days a week, when you're doing this like we're doing it, and trust me, brother and sister, it takes prayer. It takes prayer. I can imagine when Martin Luther King was doing that, and you know, they'll find out the wrong he did. You know, you go back and read a few books, they'll point out it's wrong, you know what I'm talking about? And then whoever, I mean, when you listen to him, Brother D, you listen to him how he was talking about I know we ain't back there, though, but you listen to him how he was so against the Vietnam War. You know what I'm talking about? It was so, and he said, I ain't going to stop talking about it. You know what he said? It was injustice there, you know what I'm talking about? That's why when they went over there, they got ambushed, man. They got ambushed. They didn't know where them people were there. I know some people went over there and fought, man. They didn't know where them people were there, man. You know, and all of them came back with that. What that was? They mind messed up. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't care what kind of class you get, what kind of peer you have them walking the streets. You know what I'm talking about? Don't know if they're going left or right. These people left good and came back messed up, man. So I say that to say this here, man. We are living in a time. We're living in a time that we should love, like he said. He said, don't tell them about all my accomplishment. Tell them how I love and what I was a servant, you know. That's what we're supposed to do, Brother D. We're serving others. We do the ultimate serving because we sacrifice our time and everything to do what God asks us to do, especially if you've been called by Him. You have to do it. It ain't even an option. If you said you called by God, you have to make way. You have to press endurance. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, I don't know how many people would have did. I know God is good, right? The things I was going on about that automobile, I never really raised it up a lot. You know what I'm talking about? But it was a burden, bro. And still teach and preach God's word with the joy. You know what I'm talking about? I know perseverance.
Amen.
I know prayer
work.
You know what I'm talking about? I know it does, man. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody can tell me this. That watch this here, brother. That God is not able. He is able. You know what I'm talking about? And he's able to do more than we ever can imagine.
Exceedingly.
You know, and abundantly.
Yes.
And more than we can ever. And more than we can even imagine. So I'm going to. I want to, you know, since you hit the one button, I want you to, you know, whatever's in your heart, you know, the door is open for it, man. We don't force nobody to say nothing. And no, it's like that in church, too. People don't even get up. You know, it's like that in church. People only move, you know what I'm talking about, and leave there sometimes with the condition of what's in their heart, man. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes they be in so much pain, but be embarrassed to think somebody might look at them wrong or say something about them, man. Man, church is not about that. Church is an open door. Anybody can come, you know what I'm talking about? And watch this, Brother D. And then most churches, they'll have certain ministers there and take you to the back, to the side. You know what I'm talking about? So you don't have to worry about being in front of people. You know what I'm talking about? There's always a way to get in, man. Don't let salvation pass by. Don't let the healing pass by. And God is in the midst and you walk out. You know what I'm talking about? What you got there, Brother D? You went on the glory?
You know, my brother, there's a song that says, do not pass me by.
Yes, sir.
Do not
yes, sir.
Pass And my brother just said, the first giving honor to God, truly the head, wouldn't be here without him, couldn't be here without him. We want to tell him thank you each and every day. And my brother said some things, and a lot of time I get to talking and don't have to stop. You got to bear with this, Noah, bro. I can pull over the back, bro. It's kind of rough back here. But I have a brother saying some things. One is how we sit out on God. I sit all the time. I just don't see how a man can sit on his hand. And now, Shirley Caesar said, if you hold my hand, I'm going to stomp my feet. I'm going to praise him some kind of way. Because he's getting good to us. And I'm listening to the sermon as it's going in and out. I'm listening to the sermon that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was giving. And you know, the man was stabbed. A young lady. She said she would. She got a letter from a little white girl that said they told her if he had sneezed, she'd have died. And she said, thank God. Some little white kid now. She said, thank God you didn't have to sneeze. The whole church should be shouting right now at just how good God is to man. He let him go through a little something, but yet saved him. I heard my brother say something else, and I had encountered something similar to the same thing when he went into the car dealer. The man whispered to him and told him, we take cash. It's stuff of that magnitude is why King gave his life. Now you got to ask yourself, though, brother, do you think he volunteered to do what he did? I beg the difference. It was appointed to him to do what he did. If King had appointed himself, he couldn't stay the course, my brother. He couldn't stay the course, Ramirez. He was able to stay because, and see, I heard my brother say so a few minutes ago. He said, those that are called. We have tried to stress many times. Every calling is not up to preach. Some call to be a good teacher. Some call to be a good deacon. A good usher. I heard my pastor say one time, he said, if sickness hadn't set in, he said, I know Sister Kurt going to be right at that door when I walk in. He wasn't calling her Curtis, he called her Sister Kurt. He said, I know when I walk in. She was calling to be a great usher. Calling is not up to preach. It's just not up to preach. But what man do? We break and run because we want to preach. We think that's the only way to give God some praise. And then when the preacher's up preaching, you sit down on him. I can't understand it. I've tried and tried. I can't understand it, my brother. I just can't understand how you sit down on God. I know a lot of time I come in, I should be quiet, but I just can't. Because I just can't understand. He been too good. And have brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. When I look, the songwriter said one time, he said, I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from. If I take time out to see where God brought me from, I see where he's taking me to. And when I look at where God is taking me to, there's no way I can sit down on him. I just have to tell God, thank you. One time, I was riding alone this morning, my brother, and I looked up and I said, 5:30. I don't think I done spoke to him yet. I said, good morning, Father. Because I know where God has brought me from.
Yes.
Not only did he bring me, he brought me out the street. He brought me away from being lost into being found. And then you will sit down on it, and you won't tell God thank you. Romero don't just get this happy. Brother Henry don't just get this, brother. He don't just be shouting for nothing.
Yes.
Oh, there's something on the inside that's burning. Jeremiah says, like fire. Shut up in my bones. Somebody said, just won't leave me alone. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell God, thank you for being my Lord and Savior every day of my life. And I know Martin left early. Martin left early. I told Reverend Henry the other day, he preached so hard, I said he reminded me of a preacher. We call him Reverend Leo Daniels. Preached himself all the way from here. But you know, my pastor, no, almost said it, I got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. My pastor said this one time. He said, "Brother D, I went to him for a scripture."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Let's go down here and see what the 66 say." And we started talking about the church, and he said, "I'm going to preach just as hard. If it's 1,000 sitting out there, or if it's just one sitting out there. Because I'm not praying in the name of Jesus."
That's it.
And you cut out on God.
That's it, dear.
I love you. I love you, my brother. One day we're going to put a face with these names.
Yes, sir.
Love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Keep on keeping on. God has the Lord. And really, I know you do, because he told me over there in the book of Romans, he said, "I come and I'm going to bring my reward with me." He said, "My reward is with me." He said, "The wages of sin is death." He said, "But the gift of God, that's the reward." Remember what? He said, "The gift of God is eternal life." I heard King say, "Every man wants to live life longevity. It's just not
the
But God is sparing your life today. God is sparing your life today. You got a chance right now. Just say, Lord, I surrender. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I surrender unto you.
That's beautiful.
I tried it my way. America just didn't work my way. But I surrender unto you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes. So, you know, I hear you say that. I love how, you know, you will come in, man, you know. I thank God, man, you know, we don't force nobody to do nothing, man. But we do make a way that if you want prayer, you know what I'm talking about, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you, you know, and you can pray for us, you know what I'm talking about. You know, and we're here for that, you know what I'm talking about. I thank God for the Holy Spirit because, you know, I know he convicts people. For some people, just resist it, you know. That's on them, on that. You know, I came upon my life and know as God and illustrating to help me know understand this that we call the pulpit, right? That we just speak it, man. Brother D, we just speak it, man, and open the doors up and the people, if they want to leave like they came, you know, it's only for them, you know, they can choose their life. But you know, somebody said, "Well, I don't have to get on the platform. I don't have to get on the platform and tell nobody about my God." You know, that's right. We don't make you do nothing. You know what I'm talking about? But
He spoke on that. He said, if you shame your own man, I'll be ashamed on you before my father.
Yes, sir. That's it.
He spoke on it.
Yes, sir.
And I know you're right about it. 2 minutes ago, he said, "We don't beg you. We're not trying to shame you." I'd be trying to shame him. I want to shame someone in, because if I shame you today, you're going to tell somebody about Jesus tomorrow. If I can shame you enough to come off mute and say, "I acknowledge the fact that I know Christ, I want to know him," tomorrow you go tell somebody about God yourself. You want to sit down. Once you have tasted, the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see." That's the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It's good.
Yes, sir.
It's good.
I'm good. Yes, sir. Him good.
Yes, sir. You just want to sit down and don't want to give him a chance. See, Reverend Mary gave him a chance a long time ago. And he's reaping the benefits today. Reverend Henry preached so hard last week until I was sitting up saying to myself, I said, "I wish I could go in there and pull the cord out the mic." He was preaching so hard. "I wish I could have pulled the cord." But then you want to sit down on it. You know, when I look at this thing called salvation, I promise you, when I see, if I didn't have God already within, and I see a man preaching, talking that hard about him, it'll make me want to say, "What must I do? What must I do? Because it's got to be something. It's no way you can come on here and cry to what in the name of Jesus. I got to taste and see for myself.
You own some.
That the Lord is good. He's good. He's good, bro. He's good. God is good. You should want to try.
Yeah, you good. I won't say this because, man, I won't say this. And I don't know. I can't see nobody hit the one button. But let me say something, Brother D. Watch this here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace. Lord, we come in the most humblest manner we know how. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your sweet spirit. We thank you, Father God, for the things you already have said and about to do in this service, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for everything that went forth before and, Father God, prayerfully after, Lord. We know, Father God, that you are our resource of life. So we come right now, Lord, asking you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I feel a spirit here, Lord. I feel a spirit, and you know what that spirit is, Lord. I ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, remove the spirit, Lord. Remove that spirit, Lord. And I ask you this in the name of Jesus. I love you, Lord, and I thank you. This is what I pray in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Brother D, you just sit there, man, and I sit there, and you sit there. Man, we done came in life, man. We don't have to do a lot of things, man, in life. We just supposed to give it, and, you know, I know later on this evening, if it be God's will, y'all, I don't know how that service is going to go, but I think y'all call it what
the appetizer.
I don't know how to ever go, but I do know the support. I hear with it all. It's hard to get them over there to say something, you know. You know, it's even when you have a whole service for them to say something. So we don't sit back and we give them that. And if it be God's will, man, you know what I'm talking about? If it be his journey that we're on right now, you know. If it be his journey that we're on right now.
I'll say this, my brother. I'm going to say this to them, those that are listening, those that choose not to say nothing. And when I say this, I'm going to speak for my brother as well as myself. I'm going to speak for Reverend Henry as well as myself. I'm going to speak for Reverend Eric as well as myself. You know, on this journey too long to turn around now. If you're sitting down on your hand and you won't hit the one button and just say, I know the man, you're not sitting down on Brother D. You're not sitting down on Reverend Eric. Now, I thought you sit down on remembering. You're sitting down on God. We don't, neither one of us have a heaven or hell to put you in. We have a preference for you to go, and we prefer that you go to heaven. But neither one of us have one to put you in. But I can tell you this, and my brother will back me up, there's going to come a day that you're going to have to stand trial for yourself. There's going to come a day you're going to stand trial. I remember one time, Red, my son had gotten into trouble. And when we went to the city attorney, and I went to say something, he told me, he said, no, Daddy. He said, he got to talk for himself. He said, no, Daddy. And that's all Ramirez was saying. I tell you right now, sister and brother, there's going to come a day. You're going to have to stand for yourself. And believe it or not, your deeds will be read out. The Bible says he's going to open up the Lamb book of life. And what did you do? What did you do? And what you done is what you will be judged off of. In the name of Jesus. Ask for me. There's a young man said to me, he said, ask for me in my house. Ask for me in my house. We going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve God as long as there's breath in my body. And went too far to turn around. He didn't brought me too far to turn around. In the name of Jesus. And with that being said, bro, I'm going to get out of here and let them know that we love them. And like you said, if the Lord's will, we'll see them this evening. But I'll say this and getting out the way. At the end, when it's all said and done, do you all think Satan's going to have more souls than God? He said he would turn rocks into souls. You're right now, you're sitting down on them, you're a rock. I'm going to tell it to you. You're a rock. He's here trying to rock in the soul. Come on, here, Ramiro. Come on, bro. Come on, my brother. Come on, my brother. I'm here if they only knew, if they only knew.
God bless you. I just want to thank the Lord for the service today and that praying about that drum major instinct that I was so touching about it. If you want to be first, oh man, if you want to be important, get close to God. And
get close to Him.
Just thanking God for the service and God has blessed us to hear and to receive today. It's open. He said, whosoever will, let him come. You know, that's open invitation. But many are given the great call, but few are chosen. And the ones that are chosen that are the ones that are going to continually try to seek after him through ups, through downs, through hard times and good times, but still want to press on to know the Lord. I just want to thank God for the service this morning, for those that went before. You know, a lot of times it's easy for us to forget about struggles. You know, and we mention Calvary so much, and a lot of people even forget about what was suffered for them. You know, Reverend Brian spoke on the, you know, and I too hate to vote because many just done. They really don't turn things bad, but the sacrifice was still there. Those had to pave the way, and those who had to be abused, just that those a generation after them could have a better way of life. So it was Christ that the generation after could have a better way of life. You know, that gives them the right to the tree of life. But thank God. Thank God for this service today. You know, it makes you want to go back and look and recalibrate the thing. That, you know, so we know that our living won't be in vain. You know, our things we try to do, it won't be in vain. Hallelujah. And if we can continue to serve, thank God, continue to serve.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Brother D, you know, we're going to do what we do. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, man. And I just believe this here, what we're doing, is getting us a seat in heaven. I just believe that. That he's in the midst. Yeah, I believe this here, Brother Reverend. Brother D, he makes room for the gift, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He makes room for the gift. And I thank God for it. Man, when you really, I'm going to say this here. When you really love God and you really, you know, folks going to talk about you. Folks going to run you down. They're going to pick you up. They're going to do all kind of things, you know. But know this here. Your living will not be in vain if you pick up that cross. If you take that cross and take the brutal pain. Can you imagine what they did to Jesus, man? Can you just, I know you heard it, you've read about it, and hear us spit over here. It's almost like a ritual of cliche, they say it, you know. But it's real, man. They stoned him. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns in his head, and you can sit up there, and we can sit up there, and he moves stuff out of our way, right? We said this script again, Brother D, on yesterday about, man, before we even call on the Lord, man, he's already heard us, man. He's already answered.
You know, it's, I know we said. I know we said, brother, the Reverend, brother, I know we see it. I know we do, but that's real, man. There's some prayers been answered for you and I. We ain't asked for yet, man. And God moves on what, Reverend? And God moves a lot of things on faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God moves a lot of things on faith. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe the things God don't allow us to have, watch this here. Maybe a lot of things God don't allow us to have, he already know you can't. One thing,
he
probably experienced it there. We probably experienced it there.
Yeah.
You know, the food prime spirit of death. If you do, like he said, one of them scriptures, don't pray in the mist. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I know you two know. Don't pray in the mist. Don't be praying, go kill that person. Don't go.
That's right.
Don't pray in the mist
that's
to me.
Don't bring it to the
door. And watch this. This ain't going to be comical, but this is going to be the truth. You know how many teams playing football and basketball? They want to win. I don't pray that they want to win, that no one get hurt. Who you think God listening to? You know what I'm talking about? That's what, you know, God listen to the sincerity of it. He don't care about you winning no football game, no basketball game. God care about
that's
your
right.
salvation.
Right.
You know, he care about your salvation, man. You know, I don't think he'll look down and won't see nobody get hurt, nothing like that. Just me now. But I do know one thing about it. He don't care who win or lose it. On any game, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and I look at how I remember I played sports. I know every game we used to pray, man. We pray every game we used to pray. You know, and you know, we used to pray when in high school, we used to use the old thing, right? What was that?
Father, the God in heaven.
Yeah, there you go.
Hallowed be thy name. Yeah,
so everybody on the team had to do it. You know what I'm talking about? So
right.
So you had to
right.
be ready to vote.
Right.
You know, so we always did it, and I just think about how when we did it, you know, as young men back then, you know, look at what happened today. A lot of them guys tried to be. A lot of people, you know, brother D. A lot of people what I went to school with. A lot of them guys are ministers, man. A lot of them.
Yeah. I will help find out one of my best friends. I called my best friend. I found that he was free. He's a minister now. And I'm like, what? He was a hellion then. He's a minister now. God is just that good. Yeah, you know, I said it before. You know, God take the wine heads, the crack heads, and just deliver them.
He's
only showing you. If I deliver them, what do I do for you? What do I do for you if I deliver them?
Yeah.
I deliver them.
Yeah.
That's being outside for me in my house.
If it be God's will, you know, and we often say this with love, you know, if it be God's will, you know, we try our best to present this thing daily, you know what I'm talking about. And y'all be in prayer with it, man. It might not go like you want to, you know what I'm talking about. It might not be the one you want to hear at that time, you know what I'm talking about. But we do want to know one thing, man. We're trying to do it to where God love can be spread. You know, we're trying to do it where God be elevated, you know. And I know I ask you this, man, pray for us. Pray for us. Everyone you hear right now. The one I'm not saying the one you're not hearing, but I know for the ones you're hearing right now, pray for us. Pray for us that we stay in God's care and love, man. Pray for us that we don't we don't venture off and we don't lose our mind. Help me, Holy Spirit. If we don't lose our mind, you know, we don't lose watch this, Reverend, and pray for that this never happened. That we lose our way to Him if we do fall.
Yes, sir.
Pray for us for our strength. You know, our health, you know what I'm talking about? You know, we still young men, you know. I don't care what Brother D think he is, but we still young men, you know. We still, we still need prayer, you know what I'm talking about? And I know when it's all said and done, my prayer, Brother D, you might not never see us on this side. Help me, Holy Spirit. You might not, but I know one day.
Right. Because
I believe in the record. I believe in the record, man.
Reverend. Mm-hmm. I've seen there was a communication with someone in hell and heaven. There was.
Mm-hmm.
There was a communication with some the rich man. They, if you go look at it, his name was Diabetes.
Can't come over here.
And laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Can't come over here.
He looked up at Abraham and saw Abraham. I want to start praising again. I think I said something a long time ago. I know he know Abraham, right? He know him, right? And he heard about him. You know what I'm talking about? He hadn't physically seen him because Abraham was already passed, but he heard about him, right? So I want to say, see, God brings people and show people, you hear people that you're familiar with, and it be him. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in his full form. He came to you like the Almighty God. He didn't come to you like Jehovah. You know, say once you see Jehovah, oh, help me, Holy Spirit. The book said, mm-hmm. I might even revisit that again. You know, that you won't live, man. So, but I do believe that when we see each other, Brother D, we're going to be in heaven. When we see each other, Reverend Henry, we're going to be in heaven. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And when we do, and I don't know about you, I just believe in the Bible. He said he's not going to have us sitting up there thinking we're going to have a party like people think they're going to have. Like they think, glad to see you. It's going to be nothing about him and Jesus.
All about him.
I believe he'll be here. You know, somebody said, "What you talking about?" I believe you. That just me now. Don't hold me to it if you don't believe it. But I believe when it get down to it, it's gonna be some time that some of us are gonna have to judge people because he's gonna use us as judges. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said we'll be able to judge angels. Now that's what the scripture says.
Yes, sir.
So that's why we do what we do. That's why we ask you to keep us in prayer. That's why we ask you to do this here in love. We do it in love. We receive in love. You know, we ask all this in the name of Jesus. We ask you to keep praying for the ones who are really struggling with that transition, someone gone, we call death, you know. Keep praying for the people that are sick and shut in. You know, this is a good year to lift up somebody besides you. Lift up somebody else and say, Lord, I know you. I know this person. I know that person. Give him to the Lord. You'd be surprised how God hear your prayer when you pray for others. You'd be surprised how God will come in your situation when you think about someone else. You know, that's what Martin Luther King was saying. He was a servant. Be a servant. Serve someone. Tell somebody, what can I do to help you? I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. Be that peacemaker, Reverend Henry. Be that peacemaker, the deep. Be that peacemaker, Reverend Brian. Be that peacemaker. Help me, Holy Spirit. You know, and I know you hear a lot of names dropping, but let me tell you this here. I only can do this because I know these guys, they're going to come to the battlefield, and they're going to labor. They're going to labor in the Lord. So if we don't have nobody else, Reverend, or we don't have nobody else, Brother D, and I don't see nobody else, we can thank God. That's good, Reverend. That's good, Reverend. That's good. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we all gonna say, let me put my little commercial out. Y'all ready for my commercial? How is it commercial or the appetizer?
Appetizer.
I ain't no appetizer. We just done the appetizer. Some people probably said, that was too long to be an appetizer. It's good with you.
You like my mom, right? They want to be glad to see us come. Glad to see us leave. My mom.
It's some good stuff, but we're at the point, we don't care what people think. Watch this, Reverend. 425 292. 4212 That's they do a little advertising, they call it. Brother D and Brother Tim, and they clear their little head up and they go in there. Brother Willie Dog, let him have a little say. They might, I don't know what he might have got going on. He never rehearses his ministry, you know. God gave him, you know, and we thank God for his. God giving him strength to keep doing what he's doing. I know and I believe in my heart that the hats he tries to wear You know, we pray for him. You know, come out. We pray for God's strength for him as well. You know, he's a voice in a lot of areas that he wants to be in. But I thank God that you have opportunity. Maybe he might stand it a little bit. You know, maybe he might stand it a little bit. Tell somebody to buy dying words. You know, to my, that's what it is. You know, to my, that's what it is. It's dying. It's dying real fast. You know, to my, you know, if I see where you at, Reverend Henry, if anybody want to pray, you know, for us in this day, you know, and pray for the family, pray for the King family, you know, still thinking about their father, you know, pray for them, you know, give them strength, you know, at such a time their mother's not here, their sister's not here, you know, there ain't but a few of them left, you know. Pray for them, you know, talking about everybody want to get in the pulpit. You put the politics in the pulpit right now. You know, come on, and I still say that is a sacred thing. You know, sacred. You know, it very is. That pulpit is sacred right now. But anybody, they put anybody there. I'm talking about Martin Luther King. Anyway,
yeah, that's it, it is a sacred. And I'm doing all faith. They wrong. You know, when I was a kid coming up on the Christian Virgin, my mother and them used to rehearsal at our church. And if you came in with a pair of pants on, Bishop would take you in the back. He had a box of clothes. We used to call that post saint. And you had to put a skirt on or a dress on and roll them pants up. You couldn't walk through the pulpit. He wasn't going to stand for it. My pastor, Bishop, wanted to serve the Lord to the letter, so I told you all before, he never saw where the Lord shaved. Please stop shaving. Because he never read it. But they want to get as far as they can away from the letter. Instead of trying to get close to it.
So we thank God for the services on today. Praise the Lord. We'll go to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Remember those that have went before. Hallelujah. And allow us the opportunity that we have. Surely remember the preached word and salvation that has been made not to us. Make sure we receive it. In Jesus' name, Father God in heaven, thanking you for yet another opportunity that you given us that we sit down and we read them in your word. Thank you, Father, for all that this service brought forth, memories of hallelujah, and where we should be, Father God, and where we should strive to be doing for you. We tell you thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for the life, the legacy of our dear brother, Dr. Martin Luther King. And thank you, Father, this day, this moment, this hour, in Jesus' name. Thank you for all the soldiers that are continually trying to build the battlefield to strive to show a dying world that you yet live. Bless us. Keep us in thy care and thy loving care. Keep us strong, Father God. Keep us with a heart yearning to be more of what you have us to be, more wanting to be a vessel used by you. Continue to clean us up, Father God, and prepare us for the battle. Hallelujah. We tell you thank you. Thank you for the message, the messenger, and all those that played a part in the, oh, Father God, and the sincerity of it all, Father. We thank you. Thank you for how you have consecrated us, our mind, our hearts, and our spirits. You set us apart. You sanctified us. We tell you thank you, Lord. Continue to keep that upon our heart that we be holy for thee, Father God, that you may use us, that we make it your blessing to ourselves and someone else as well. Continue to bless those that have been bereaved in their heart, Father, loss of a loved one or even in relationship, Father God, they feel like they're drifting, feel like they're losing Hallelujah. But we know you can repair, even repair their relationship with you, Father God. Bless them. They must draw nigh unto you. If we can be a help, bless us, that we may help someone to know you a little better, to walk a little closer to thee. In Jesus' name, we just want to thank you, Father, for strength. Hallelujah. Thank you for a desire to yet walk as close as we can, be as close as we can to you, Father God, that our light may shine, that we may glorify the things, hallelujah, that you have instilled in us. We can glorify those good works, that they may glorify you, Father God. All praise, all honor, all glory, we return it back to you. We tell you thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for it, our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I can't give up. I can't give up now. See, I've come left side.
in the hospital.